But this morning, we're going to turn in our Bibles together to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Been there for a few weeks already. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where if you remember from last week, the Apostle Paul has been describing for us what the Christian's life is often really like. Sometimes we come to the Christian life with rose-colored glasses. We think everything is going to be fair and everything is going to be great for us. And yet, when we come to verses 8 and 9 of this particular chapter, he uses four words that we looked at last week, four words to describe the difficulties of the Christian life. The difficulties. And as we go through these words again, do these words describe what you are going through today or maybe how you're feeling today? Talks about how we are often troubled there in verse 8. Troubled by pressures that sometimes seem overwhelming. Troubles. We are also often perplexed there in verse 8. We are unsure of what we should do or where we should go or how we should respond to a certain situation in life. We're perplexed. Verse 9 describes how we are often persecuted. The idea is pursued, even by our spiritual adversaries. Of course, the world is always at watch of Christians to see how we're going to live and how we're going to respond to certain things. Our own flesh is an enemy to our spiritual condition. But of course, the great adversary is the devil himself, who walks about like a lion, always seeking whom he may devour. There are times, though, that we may even be cast down, it says in verse 9, where we feel like we are in the jaws of that lion himself. But is that all that Paul says about the Christian life? There are troubles and perplexities, persecutions, and sometimes we're cast down. But that's not all that Paul describes in the Christian life in those verses. Because if you look at all those verses together in verse 8, he says, we are troubled on every side. But remember those two words, those two key words from last week? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. What this means is that Christians suffer and Christians struggle through life differently than the rest of the world. Differently. But what is that difference? What is the difference? What is that but not or not yet that we find in those verses? Well, in the verses that we will explore together this morning, we find that difference. Beginning verse 13, Paul writes, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. He's quoting from a psalm. Then he adds, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see, the difference that exists in your life if you are a Christian is that in verse 16, though your outward man perish, and of course he's talking about the physical infirmities. He's talking about the physical nature of our human beings. And of course, it's our physical nature that is often persecuted and perplexed and cast down. But he says, if your outward man, even though it perishes, even though it's declining, even though it's deteriorating, even though someday you will eventually die, yet what happens? If you're a Christian today, your inward man, that spiritual man, the one that has been redeemed by the Lord, the one that has been renewed by the Spirit of God, your inward man is renewed day by day. By day. So when you experience those pressures and perplexities of life, that persecution and pain, even in your spiritual walk with God, it is your outward man perishing. After all, aren't we all earthen vessels? Aren't we all those pots made out of clay? But when you are not distressed and not in despair, when you are not forsaken and not destroyed, as we read in verses 8 and 9, it's not because of any strength that you have or any unusual might that you have, but rather it's because your inner man is renewed day by day. The difference between the world and a Christian is that the Christian has divine renewal going on in their hearts and lives every single day. God is renewing your life as a Christian. And that is why Paul could also say there in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not." Remember, at the very beginning of this chapter, he said in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy," what? "We faint not." So we have this anchor there at verse 1, and we have this other anchor here at verse 16, and he says, "I persevere in my ministry and sharing the gospel with others because of all of the things that God has done for me and all of the things that God is doing in me and all of the things that God has done for me." That is why Paul could say, "We faint not." The truth is, that is what the testimony of every Christian can be. It is God who will enable you to persevere in your Christian walk no matter what you're going through. And that is why we can struggle differently than the world. That is why we suffer differently than the world. Because it is God who will renew you day by day, it says in verse 16. And in the previous verses, we find a few things that God uses to bring about spiritual renewal in your life. The first thing is that divine renewal comes through your trust in the Lord. This is where it starts. Divine renewal comes through trust in the Lord. And we see this back in verse 13, where again Paul says, "We having the same spirit of faith," what spirit of faith? The same spirit of faith that the psalmist had when he wrote, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." And then he says, applying it to himself, "We also believe, and therefore speak." One thing that we can glean from this verse is that the Christian life is and always has been a life of faith and a life of trust from start to finish. It's a life of trust. But do you know that even your faith and even your trust in the Lord is a gift of God's grace? So often we struggle with faith, don't we? So often we struggle with doubt, those perplexities that we were reading about there in verse 8. But when we come to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we're reminded that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So even the faith that you have, the value and the power of your faith doesn't rest in how you feel that day. It rests in the object of your faith, who is the Lord, Jesus Christ. Your life as a Christian is a life of faith and trust from start to finish. And so, the first way that God brings renewal into your life is through your faith and through your trust. Faith is your connection with the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith is your connection with the God who has given you this grace by which we stand. And this treasure is mentioned all the way back in verse 7 when he says, "We have this treasure." It's talking about Christ. It's talking about the gospel. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." How do we know we have that treasure? It's through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And God will use your faith and use your trust in Him to bring you hope in the midst of the darkest times of your life. We all know people that have struggled with health needs. Perhaps you've known some people that have been overseas as missionaries and they were persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And we know how dark those valleys can be. What gave them hope? Their faith. Their faith in Jesus Christ and their faith in what God was doing in them and through them and eventually for them. And Paul experienced this himself. He experienced this firsthand and recognized that he was not the only one that had hope through faith in Christ. And so what he does here in verse 13 is Paul quotes from a psalm, Psalm 116. And I'm going to ask you to keep your finger here in 2 Corinthians 4 and go back with me to Psalm 116. And we're going to read through that here in just a few moments. But the verse, the particular verse that he quotes from Psalm 116 is verse 10. Verse 10. Where the writer of this psalm says, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." I believed, and therefore I have spoken. What we find is that Paul's trust was the same trust that he found in this psalm. And isn't it a wonderful thing that God has given us the book of Psalms? The book of Psalms is a songbook, It was meant to be sung because it expresses many times the deepest heartfelt feelings of a redeemed conscience and a redeemed life. Many of them were written by King David, and there were others that also helped construct these psalms. But ultimately, these psalms were given for us to be able to explore our own feelings and our own heart responses before God. And there are many times when you're struggling that the only way you can express that struggle is through a psalm. I remember in 1995 when my dad finally passed away. Of course, for many years he was struggling with brain cancer, as most of you know. Yet when he finally passed away, it was, of course, a struggle. We knew that he was in heaven. We knew that the Lord had brought him to himself many years earlier. But we knew he was in heaven. We knew that he was saved. But it was still a struggle. It's still a struggle when you lose someone that you love. But my mother, when she was struggling with feelings that she couldn't express, she went to this special songbook, the Book of Psalms. And she learned a lot like what Paul had learned, that when you have a heartfelt feeling that you can't express and describe yourself, God has already given us an inspired account of what those feelings are like. And so he too goes to the Book of Psalms. He too here goes to Psalm 116 verse 10, and he says, in spite of all the things that I faced as a Christian, as an apostle, as your servant, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. You see, the writer of this psalm, possibly King David himself, had gone through many of the same trials as Paul did. We'll look at those here in a moment. But isn't that true for us as well? How many times do we struggle with something and we feel like no one's ever gone there before? No one's ever felt like this before. No one's ever gone through this before. And yet listen to what Paul says in Romans 15:4. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And so when we come to this book, especially the book of Psalms and other passages in this Bible, we realize that this is God's tool to help us get through those struggles and those trials and that suffering that we often face, because these are such things that are common to man. And so Paul learned from the faith and trust that he found expressed in this psalm. And his faith was renewed and refreshed in his own heart because his trust became a deep, deep trust. His trust was not in himself, but in the Lord, just like the writer of the psalm. And we're going to read through this psalm again and listen to the focus of this person's faith and the focus of his trust. He says, "I love the Lord," verse 1 of Psalm 116. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow." If we stop there and we compare that with what Paul was saying in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, remember? He said, "I'm troubled on every side. I am facing all of this persecution, even to the point of being cast down. I'm in the mouth of the lion itself." But then, what did Paul do? The same thing that the writer of this psalm did. Verse 4, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, but he helped me. So return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. All throughout this psalm, we find that the object of trust is God. The object of this man's trust is God, who is, in verse 5, gracious and righteous and merciful. And you can go all throughout that psalm and identify who God is and what God is like. And when you find yourself in a position like Paul, when you find yourself in overwhelming circumstances, back in 2 Corinthians 4, when you're troubled on every side, when you're perplexed, persecuted, when you're cast down even, when you're overwhelmed, your renewal will only come when you keep your trust in the Lord. That's how you are renewed day by day. You don't experience spiritual renewal if your trust is in yourself or your trust is in someone else. That renewal only comes when you keep your trust in the Lord. And then you can say, according to Psalm 116, verse 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." Is your soul restless today? The reason why is because you are not trusting the Lord. You're not trusting Him. But you can say, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Do you have that kind of deep and abiding trust in the Lord today? Well, how can you tell? Well, because not only is it a deep trust, it will also be a declaring trust. If you go back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, Paul again states, "We, having the same spirit of faith," like the one who wrote Psalm 116, "we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken," he says, we also believe. It's a deep faith, abiding faith in God, and therefore speak. You see, the trustworthiness and the faithfulness of God to Paul was something that he could not keep to himself. It was something that he had to share. It was something that he had to speak about. This is what Christian faith is all about. It makes you want to proclaim it to everyone else on the outside. He had to share it. He had to speak about it. Just like in the psalm that he quoted, his words and his life was a testimony of God's deliverance to him. The writer of Psalm, it seems like he had a sickness that was leading him to death. And there was a struggle, a physical struggle that led him to pray and cry out to the Lord for deliverance. We know that Paul experienced that physical persecution, that physical suffering. How many times was he whipped and beaten by the Jews and to the point left for dead? And yet he was able to cry out to the Lord. He believed. That's why he spoke. He believed. That's why he told others. He believed. That's why he testified about God and his grace to him. Do you have this same spirit of faith in your heart today? The same spirit as Paul and the same spirit as the writer of that psalm. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, guess what? You do have the same spirit of faith. And the deeper your trust in the Lord goes, the more you will declare His trustworthiness to others. And the more your inward man will be renewed. Isn't that what happens during our own testimony times on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? If you don't come for those times, you're missing out. Because that is an opportunity not just to fill the time, because as you well know, I can fill the time. All right? We don't just have praise and testimony time because we got to make up for the hour. We do that because of this purpose right here. We believe, therefore we speak. We believe in God, and we recognize His goodness to us and His grace to us, His generosity to us, and that's why we speak, and we testify, and we tell people about it. We thank Him publicly and privately. And what does this do? When you are testifying and you are speaking about your own faith and deep abiding faith in what God has done for you, doesn't it encourage your own heart? Sometimes it's hard to keep those things that we've learned about God to ourselves. I appreciated Linda this morning talking about how our Sunday school hour was encouraging to her. Why? Because we have times of discussion. And somebody is sharing what the Lord has taught them throughout that reading, throughout that week. And it's a blessing to the person who is telling it. But it's not just an encouragement to the person who's testifying. It's also something that edifies each other. When there is truly a spirit of praise and testimony within our church, we all leave encouraged. We all leave blessed. We all leave ready to proclaim and tell other people about Him. When Pat was talking about how God had provided for her special need, you know, that wasn't something that she alone started telling people. I told people about it too. I told people about how God had provided for her and blessed her. This is what speaking about God's work in our life will do. It also edifies each other. And ultimately, you know what it does? It exalts the Lord, doesn't it? It exalts Him. This is why when we believe something, we need to testify about it. This is why we need to have the same spirit of faith. When we trust in the Lord, we can then testify about the Lord. And that is renewal. Day by day. When you miss out on those days, guess what? There's a struggle. But we can be renewed because of our faith and trust in the Lord. And that's why we need to say with Paul, we also believe and therefore speak. Don't hold back on what you've learned about God. Don't hold back on what God has done for you. Speak. But second, we also see from verse 14 that divine renewal can also come through your triumph through the Lord. Through your triumph through the Lord. Verse 14, Paul adds, knowing, I believe and I'm speaking, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. What we find in this verse is that Paul's faith in the Lord gave him a special hope in the Lord. Because his hope was in the power of God. And one of the greatest displays of God's power is, in verse 14, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's just a few short weeks from now that we will be celebrating Easter, which is the time in the church calendar where we, again, remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But you know, every day in the life of a believer ought to be a celebration of Christ's resurrection from the dead, because it is a display to us of the power of God. And that's why Paul writes, knowing, verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus. In other words, this knowledge and this confidence about the Lord Jesus is what brought him daily hope and daily renewal into his life. This hope that God had the power to raise up Jesus from the dead. Now, how did Paul know about this resurrection? How did Paul know about the resurrection of Jesus? Well, I'm sure you heard it from others. But most importantly, he learned about it from his own experience. Remember on that road to Damascus in Acts? On that road to Damascus, he heard the voice of the living Savior himself. He heard it from heaven. And not only that, he saw the glory of the risen Lord. And it was to the point that it blinded him. And from that day forward, his faith rested on not just the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead, but even the promise of God to raise him from the dead someday. You see, Paul understood that death is something that is common to every single person. But you realize if you believe in Jesus Christ, the same God who raised up Jesus from the dead, verse 14, shall raise us up also by Jesus. Now, doesn't that truth and promise give you hope? Children love Easter. In our Good News Club, I make little cards with certain catchphrases that we learn through the day. And the very first one for this last semester was that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And on that card, not only were those words, but I put a picture of some Easter eggs. And I asked the kids, what are we celebrating when we have Easter egg hunts and when we have all the chocolate and the Easter bunny and all of those things? And it's very lighthearted, but ultimately it is a celebration, isn't it? It's a festivity. And even unbelievers like to kind of get in on that festivity and get in on that celebration, even though they may not know all that it's about. But that's the way it should be in our lives as a Christian. Because Jesus lives, He said, you will live also. And that is something that will renew our hearts from the inside out. That promise gives us hope, even though our outward man is perishing with every passing day. As we get closer and closer to the time of our own death, God has promised to bring you back to life someday. Not just your soul and spirit, but even your body. Yes, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there is not this soul sleep where we will just be floating around. No, we will actually be in our soul and spirit in the presence of God, but we still have hope for a bodily resurrection. Jesus says, if I live, you will live also. Well, how do you know this is going to happen? Well, because your life is bound up in the life of Jesus. You see, when you believe in Him, you are united in Him, and because He lives, we shall live also. But we also can find encouragement in verse 14 in the purpose of God for that resurrection. You see, it's not just a personal resurrection. It is a resurrection of all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It talks about how He will present us someday, verse 14, with you. You see, there are many who have believed in the Lord. There are many who have followed the Lord who are no longer with us. We can think through our own family members that have passed on, people in our own church that have passed on. But not too long from now, God will bring all those who believe in His Son together at last. And isn't that what Paul also describes in 1 Thessalonians 4:13? You don't need to turn there, but listen to these familiar words. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, believers who are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them who are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He will present us with you in heaven someday. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Christian, no matter what you face today, you will triumph in the end. And that gives you daily renewal. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that's why we can sing, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. What might happen tomorrow? What might come into your life tomorrow? We don't know. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. It might be further pressure in your life, more than you've ever felt before. It might be further perplexity about what to do in your family, in your church, in your relationships. It might be persecutions. It might even be pain. But you know, if you have Christ in your life, you can say, let them come. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. And do you realize when your focus is on the life of Christ and His resurrection, your inward man is renewed daily, day by day, day after day. But when you come to verse 15, we also see that divine renewal comes through the truth about the Lord and His grace to you. The truth about the Lord and His grace to you. He continues on, for all things, Paul says, are for your sakes. All things. That means everything that Paul went through, even more, everything that Jesus went through was for them, for their sakes, so that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Now, the very first part of that verse, Paul expresses a very humbling thought. All things are for your sakes. Now, it's hard for us to picture a person doing that for us. But isn't that what Jesus did for us? Everything He did was for your sake. Everything. When He was born into this world, it was for you. When He was living His life there as a carpenter's son, it was for you. When He was tempted by the devil those three times, yet without sin, He was doing it for you. When He went through His passion, when He was being tortured and whipped and bruised. It was for you. And ultimately, when he died on the cross, it was for you. That's grace, isn't it? It was for your sake. All things are for your sake, he says. And it's that grace that will bring renewal into your heart and life, especially when you consider the richness of God's grace. The richness of God's grace. Paul says, all of these things are for your sakes, so that the abundant grace might redound to the glory of God. That word abundant is something that Paul experienced in his life. The abundant grace of God. But you realize, so do you. There's so many things that we face and we experience that we just don't recognize as God's grace to us, His blessing, His mercies. They're so plentiful. They abound. Do you see it? Do you recognize them? If so, then don't forget what the response to God's grace should be. Again, verse 15, it talks about thanksgiving. This is a heart of gratitude, and a renewed heart will be a grateful heart. And not just your thanksgiving, but the thanksgiving of many, as we described earlier when we have praises and testimony times, because thankfulness increases as you share it with others. But doesn't God deserve a great company and choir of Christians and churches praising and thanking God for His amazing grace? This is something that will renew your heart. This is something that will renew your inner man day by day. But we also are led to the result of God's grace, which again in verse 15 is the glory of God. You see, when you live your life with God's glory in view, your inward man, verse 16, will be renewed day after day after day. Why? Because of God's grace. Because of God's grace. Whenever we talk about spiritual renewal, we often think of Isaiah 40:31. It's probably a verse that you have memorized. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And perhaps that is what Paul had in mind when he wrote the words of verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. But Paul understood, just like Isaiah understood, just like David understood when he wrote Psalm 116, that the only way for this divine renewal to take place in his life is to wait upon the Lord. Because the Lord alone is the source of the renewal that you need. And so, if your heart is overwhelmed today, remember what God uses to renew your strength. What does God use? First, He uses your trust in Him. Not just your trust, but your trust in Him. Go back to Psalm 116 and look at who God is and what God is like and what God does for you. Your trust in Him is something that He will use to daily renew you in your walk with Him. He also will use your triumph in Jesus Christ. Don't just save the commemoration or the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus for Easter. Think about His resurrection every day in your life. Think about, because He lives, I live also. Or because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Whatever tomorrow will bring. Bring it on. Why? Because Christ has risen, and He will bring me to be with Him someday. But also, the truth about His grace. Never get over the abundant grace of God so that you will respond with an abundance of thanksgiving. So often, we are not renewed because we complain about our circumstances. And yet, we can be renewed when we're thankful to God, even for our circumstances. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. And then, let's live our lives with gratitude and ultimately for the glory of God, remembering that He alone is worthy. Because what happens? Verse 16, even though our outward man will perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And that is our hope as Christians. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the glorious truth of the renewal that we have from You. Because, Father, I know that in this daily life, this daily grind sometimes it feels like, we struggle, we suffer, we deal with pressures and perplexities, and persecutions and even pain in our life, but yet we go through them differently because of what you have done and continue to do in our life. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us to recognize what you use in our life to renew us. You use our faith in you. You use our triumph in Christ. You use the truth about your grace to help us and to keep us persevering in our walk with you and our love for you. And so, Father, I pray that we will live our lives with gratitude and ultimately for the glory of God. Lord, we understand that Paul emphasized this over and over again to the people there in Corinth. Even in the first letter when he said that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Because, Lord, when we live for your glory, our trust in you, our triumph through Christ, the truth about your grace will truly renew us from the inside out so that we will not faint. We will not grow weary in the works of well-doing, but rather we will persevere and live our lives ultimately for your glory. So, Father, I pray that if there's someone here today who is overwhelmed in their heart, whatever circumstance they're going through, whatever trial they're going through, whatever temptation, Lord, that they are yielding to, I pray, Father, that they will remember that they can be renewed. Their strength can be renewed like the eagles, not because of their own exercise routine, not because of what they eat, not because of what they drink, but because of you, because of our trust in you, because of our triumph in our risen and resurrected Savior, and because of the truth of your abundant grace. And so, Father, I pray that we will be grateful and that gratitude will redound and resound. Ultimately, Lord, that you might be glorified in our lives, in our families, and in our church. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.